all, we're delighted that you could be with us today. Be praying for those little ones as they go out to Children's Church. We've got great workers back there, and Carol's been under weather this week, and so she's a faithful servant, and here this morning to minister to those little ones, and we pray that the word will be hidden in their heart, and that they'll be equipped for a world that's not that is an animosity with our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not an easy world. But God is great, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, as we look at 2011, I pray that God might bless our church body, and I hope that you've been praying for direction, guidance through the year. We've been working on the calendar for next year for the last 3 months, actually. And so things are going to be there in that calendar that will help you as you look through the year and make your plans through the year. There's a lot of exciting things that God has done in this past year, and we look forward to exciting things for the year ahead. But we want to be on our knees, and we want to pray for God's blessing and guidance and direction, for He has called us here. We're His representatives. Christ is the vine, we're the branches. He left you here for a purpose. It's not mistake. It's not by accident. God has Grace Bible Church, and you here with the gifts, the spiritual gifts that He's given to you for His purposes. And so we're prayerful. We're on our knees about, Lord, what does 2011 bring, and how do we engage in your calling? And that's what we do this each year. Vision 2011 is about who we are. It's about what Grace Bible Church and God's plan and purpose for us being here is. And by faith, we look at His calling in our lives and ask the question, God, how is it that we engage in such a way that we might be as fruitful as we possibly can be, both personally and corporately, as a body of Christ and as a local church body here in San Marcos, Texas. And so God has called us here, and we ask the question, and I know we have a lot of new faces this year coming into our new year, and perhaps you're not too familiar with the vision or the purpose statement of Grace Bible Church, but we like to come back and say, okay, this is what we're about. And our purpose and God's purpose and calling for Grace Bible Church, and really for every local Bible church as we understand it, has to do somewhat with our vision statement here. And so do we have the arrow there, Lori? Yep. Technical difficulties, or what do we got going here? This is basically a picture of a discipleship ministry in a local church. And it's, as we understand it, is the things that make up local a local Bible church ministry. It is based upon the teaching of the Word of God and upon prayer. And so the teaching of the Word of God, and I probably skipped ahead of you there, Lori, I'm sorry, but if we can go back to Colossians 1:28, the Apostle Paul stated, we proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And so the purpose of the local church is that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we're teaching and admonishing every man with all wisdom through God's Word, that we might be presented complete in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12 also says, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So again, we're looking at equipping. And if we're going to say, well, what is the purpose of Grace Bible Church? It is an equipping ministry to equip the saints for the work of service. What is that work of service? Well, that work of service is the purposes for which God has called each one of us. And it's within His plan. He has ordained the local church, and He has placed within that body of believers those that have certain spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts interact with one another in their diversity and in the plan and purpose of God for the accomplishment of His purposes. And He sovereignly oversees that. The Holy Spirit unifies God's people around those purposes. The local church is ordained by God. It is the institution, like the family and government. It is a divine institution. And so Grace Bible Church, and our purpose here, as we understand it from Scripture, is to equip the saints for the work of service. Now, the apostles, it says in Acts chapter 7, were dedicated to prayer and to the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. Why? Because they were equipping the saints for the work of service. That's the model that's given to us. It's what's taught in Scripture. And so that's where our focus is. Our focus is equipping the body through the teaching of the Word of God and through prayer. Now, there are five aspects of ministry in a discipleship ministry of the church. And we just kind of put those together in a category of three. There are things that will take place at Grace Bible Church that involve outreach. And we like to say that by evangelism, we not only evangelize the lost, taking the gospel to those, proclaiming Christ, but we also stimulate the complacent, those that maybe in their walk or they're in neutral, they're not moving forward. Well, our purpose through outreach is to engage the body of Christ together as a unit, unified in the working of the Holy Spirit for the greater plan and purposes of God, with those works interacting together. And so outreach involves both sharing the gospel, bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ, but also stimulating those that maybe are not moving forward in the Christian life. Secondly, there's the training aspects. The training aspect of ministry involves teaching and fellowship and worship. So within our church body, there's these things that are constantly going on. Everything fits in these categories of outreach and training, and then finally in service. And that's the goal before the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we come to that stature, the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, and that each person is equipped. We can't do that without the teaching and equipping of God's Word. And without the stimulation of fellowship within the church body, we are designed as such that God has encouraged and designed the church that we would encourage one another and stimulate those gifts for the work of service and for the greater purposes of Christ. So there are five aspects of ministry: evangelism, teaching, fellowship, worship, and service. And our ministries, the things that we do, when we put the calendar together, if something doesn't fit in there, it doesn't belong on our calendar. It really should fit in one of these categories in regard to a discipleship ministry. Often churches are strong on evangelism, or they're strong on teaching, and many times the area of service, that actual equipping of others to minister, is neglected. And I can say, I do believe that Grace Bible Church does a great job in equipping. Excited with so many of our ministries the Awana program. We have young people. They're called leaders in training, and they not only work with the clubbers, the little kids in the Awana clubs, but they are engaged in learning how to teach and growing in areas of service in those ways. So there's just a lot of things going on in our church that that equips the body to serve and for that work of service. So, as we look back at the years that we've been here, well, all of these areas that we look at need some work. But there's a lot of great things taking place. And as we last week looked at the year in review and saw the things that God has done through our church body, it's just very pleasing to me as pastor, and I can speak again for the leadership, that our church loves the Lord as you do and serves the Lord in the manner in which you do. So we want to thank you and want to encourage you to engage and keep moving forward, pressing on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is our goal. So we want to move forward into 2011, and today I just wanted to address an issue. We usually try to take one particular area of ministry. I would want to speak to you this morning for a few moments about the priority of worship. And, we always need work. We're doing some great things, and we've got our club. It's been so exciting this year, and I want to thank you, Pat, and for some of our young people that went over. They spoke with the principal next door at the private school. We have a club there each week on Friday. Put it in the calendar. We've had Louie and Johan are doing Good News Clubs on at Travis and Hernandez and what's the other one? Bowie. So we got three public schools that we've got evangelistic clubs going on during the week. And then we're next door, the school next door. That's great stuff. And so we're very thankful that we're not only a mission-minded church, but we're evangelistic-minded. We're doing these things in our community and doing it effectively as well. So we're very grateful for those areas of ministry and for the training that's taking place here. And always with the good things we want to improve. And so that means prayer and evaluating, reevaluating. But this year we wanted to think about just the issue in the area of worship. And worship should be priority. So, in some ways we can say, okay, well, we do well with some areas of worship. In other ways, we really need some improvement. And all of us need to grow. This is such a vital aspect of the discipleship ministry of the local church. So if you would give me your attention for a few moments, I want to go through a few things here that involve the priority of worship. And I want to speak to you first about the importance of genuine worship. By the way, this is a topical sermon. You probably caught on to that. Usually we're in a book. Week after, we have Lord's Supper next week. The week after that, we'll be back in 2 Thessalonians, verse-by-verse exposition of the Scripture. And according to our model and vision here, that is because the Word of God transforms lives. If you're feeding on the Word of God, the Word of God will transform your life. It will change you. So, therefore, we're dedicated to teaching verse by verse, which we're not particularly doing today. It's topical, but it's different. So, but let's talk about the importance of genuine worship. First of all, we declare that God is to be desired above all other things. Well, let's think just about, what it means to worship. The idea of worship is declaring God's worth. It is saying that He's valuable. Well, how do we do that? Well, for one thing, you're here, okay? So why do you come to church? Well, you come to church to acknowledge God, to recognize that life belongs to Him, that all things come from His goodness, that He is to be, it's a statement, it's a declaration that God is to be desired. Now, let's think about it very seriously just a moment. I want for you know, give me your thoughts here, because often we come and we sit in a pew and it's more about, well, what's going on here? You know, and you're kind of looking around and it's the idea or it's the mindset that I'm taking in what's happening. We've got to change that. Okay. You've got to have you must come in with a different mindset. Okay. And the proper mindset is that when we walk in those doors, that we're expressing that God is to be desired above all other things. So that means, practically speaking, when Steve gets up to begin that first hymn, that you're in place. And it's great to have that fellowship and that time going on where you're meeting brothers and sisters through the week that you haven't seen all week, and you're catching up, and that's great, and that's exciting to see. But there should be a time when, bam, I mean, there's a switch that turns on that says, oh, you know, I love my friends and I love fellowship and I love getting together at church. But right now, when we begin that call to worship, I'm going to give God my attention. I'm going to direct my thoughts toward Him. I'm going to express my desire for God, to know Him, and to express the importance of who He is. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it's important to be here and to be here on time. And it's important when Steve gets up here and begins to speak into the microphone and say, okay, let's begin, that we've got the mindset that, oh, I'm not going to turn around and sit on the pew to watch what Steve or someone is up here doing. I'm going to direct my worship to declaring the worthiness of Almighty God. And that's important. And so we've got to adjust. We have to have that mindset when we come into God's house and when we gather corporately to express that to Him. He is worthy of that. It belongs to Him. And so let's make a point to visit. And Sunday school teachers, you need to let folks out in time. We have a time, an allotted time. We're supposed to get out at 10:20, okay? So that gives a certain amount of time that people can catch up and visit. But, and Tony, what's Steve's nickname? 10:45. Because you know why? Because Steve starts at 10:45. Now, if you can ever just get me to end at 12, you know, we'll be good. But Steve is 10:45. He's I missed that. What was it? Oh, okay. That means I've got to move on. But the deal is that when that 10:45 hits, I mean, give folks their time to worship. Time to fellowship. But 10:45, when Steve begins that hymn, let's give God the honor. Let's give our attention to Him. And let's declare in an aggressive and not a passive way, but in a participating way, that God is great. And that He is to be desired above all other things. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." That's the way we want to approach Him when we come to worship together. If we'll do that, then we'll have the right focus corporately as a group of people. And when visitors come in, what they should see is a group of people that really desire God. They really long to express the greatness of the God that they worship. And if that's coming across, you know, it won't matter if we hit a few wrong chords there as far as musically and that type of thing, because that attitude of the heart will express what is pleasing to God and what is necessary. And so the Scripture says that, and Jesus prays in John 17, that we might be one, that the world might know that God has sent His Son, sent the Lord Jesus. And when we're unified in corporate worship, that's an expression. And that unity of expression of His worth declares what Christ prayed for us to be expressing. And that is that God has sent His Son, and expresses His greatness here. Well, let's move on here. Number two, we're called to display the glory of God. Have you ever thought about that? Okay, next time you feel like just not a participant, but an observer sitting on the pew, remind yourself that the Scripture says that God has called you to display the glory of God. And that's done in the house of worship. It's done when God calls His people together. 2 Thessalonians, we studied these passages, and this is just kind of a review for those of you that have been here. But it was for this that He called you through our gospel. We memorized that verse last month, that you may gain the glory, or that you may possess the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, capture what the Word of God is saying here. It is God's purpose in calling you that you might possess the glory of Jesus Christ. So in the indwelling Holy Spirit, through the new covenant, the glory of Jesus Christ is supposed to shine through His people. And the Scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before has ordained. He has intended, He has purposed, He has called you to possess the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we want to think of ourselves and think in terms of, sinful though I am, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, He has determined to display those characteristics, that glory of Christ through me. He is the vine, I am the branches, and His life flows through me. His righteousness to His purposes. And therefore, we're to be salt and light, and there should be purity among God's people and determination to embrace the commands of God's Word, that we might live according to His purposes. And we take in the Scripture and these truths, and God's Spirit makes that Word of God alive and powerful in our lives. And He transforms it so that we're living by those standards. And that's what the world needs to see. They need to see the reality of the Christian life. And we're to display the glory of God. And we've talked about that principle many times in Scripture as we've done our studies. But number three, we're called to demonstrate that everything in life is subservient to God's will. Now, that's what we express. We're expressing that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We're expressing the value of the Scripture, the Word of God. We're saying and declaring before people that what God says is important. When we obey, when we're subservient to those things, and when by practice we're walking the talk. And therefore, it's God's intended purpose for us to model what it's all about. So we take in the Word, and we're hearing the instruction from Scripture, and we're feeding upon those things, and we're yielding, we're bowing our knee in subservience to God's will. That's important. It's necessary for God's people. It should be our focus. Worship is around His Word. It's around His will as expressed in His Word, because His character and His reputation is expressed in His Word. And all of these things are needful for us as His people to refocus and to latch hold of the realities that we need to model this, and that we're called as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to demonstrate these truths and these important things. So we want to encourage one another. We take the Word in. We're taught the Word, and then we learn from each other in the practical experience and expression of the truth of God's Word as we see it demonstrated in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ as we walk the walk. And we see, well, this person does these things in the Christian life, and man, that's really exciting and really valuable for growth in the Christian life. And so all of these things are part of the work of God in His people. The scripture there, Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it is for this reason also, since the day that we heard of it, that we have not ceased to pray. So there's our prayer. We've got our teaching of the Word. We've got prayer. The Apostle Paul, but notice what he prays here for the people at Colossae. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know what? If we're worshiping God, we're increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Are you feeding on His Word? Are you coming to with this year, as we turn 2010 to 2011, can you look back and say, I have been filled with the knowledge of God's will and have made it a habit of being filled with the knowledge of God's will and His Word. And there's been interaction this year, deep interaction, in such a way that in the knowledge and coming to understand the knowledge of God's will, I've increased in knowledge of Him. And it's not an intellectual or an academic exercise. We're talking about an experiential growing in knowledge of who He is, a personal relationship with the Lord God. And I know that you have. I know what God is doing in the lives of His people here, and it's exciting. It's been exciting to see. Your trials have been exciting, because in those trials, in the midst of that, the reality of the truth of God's Word has been worked, not in a shallow way, but in a deeper way. And you have increased in your knowledge of God. And you have increased in your understanding of the knowledge of His will. You've become filled. And God has often, this year and in years past, thrown those trials your way so that you would not be shallow in your understanding in being filled with the knowledge of His will. But in exercise through those trials and through those temptations and through those persecutions and through those hardships, you might know Him in a deeper way. And that's exciting. Those are things to be excited and joyful about, because God desires that we would be subservient to His will. And we learn that through the exercise of difficulty and trials in a fallen world. And so we're excited about these things. Number four, worship is to be the goal of our activity. Worship is the end of ministry. Now, I got a tickle out of Piper. I was reading some things by Piper this week just in regard to worship, because he's good to go to when you look at and think about worship. But he was asking himself a question in college. He was going out to evangelize, and he was in his college room. He said, I asked myself, why am I going to evangelize? And he said, I was a little bit stumped, and he said, I came to the conclusion that I'm going to evangelize so that people can get saved. And why am I going to evangelize people to get saved? so that they can go to evangelize more people to get saved. And the point that he was making and the conclusion that he came to was this is cyclical. It's not an end. Evangelism is something that we do, and it's a ministry of the church, and it's what we're called to. But the end is the glory of God. You see, our goal has to be His glory. The purpose is that we might know the fullness that God has called us to in Christ Jesus, and that in that proper relationship of God to His creatures, that we're expressing the glory of God in our lives. That's the end of it. It's not just evangelizing someone for evangelism's sake, and it's not a cycle, but there's an end, and the end is always the glory of God. The goal must be for all the things. And see, here's the significance of this little statement right here. Mark it down in your notes and think about it. Because all of these other ministries, we go up here, evangelism, teaching, fellowship, service, you can put them all in one big wad, and you can say, all of this is for the purpose or with the end goal to glorify God. The goal is to worship Him. The goal is to bring glory to God. And as long as we have that right focus, we're going to be okay. And all the things that we do and all the things that we engage in will be fine. Now, Tozer had this to say. He said, the heaviest obligation lying upon the Christian church today is to purify and elevate her concept of God until it is once more worthy of Him and of her. And think about it. If we've got the proper perspective on who we are, what we've been called for, and we got the proper end, the proper goal, the glory of God, then everything is going to fall in place regardless of how we organize our calendar this year, right? It's right here. And keeping first things first is essential for us. And so I thought for 2011, for Vision 2011, it'd be good for us to be reminded that the goal is the worship of our Lord God. The goal is His glory. It is the end of who we are. It's the end of the purposes for which we were created. And you know what? We find our greatest satisfaction in the fulfillment of this God's purpose for our lives. Okay, let's go to the benefits of genuine worship, and I'll pick it up a little bit here because, you know, I'm just not ever going to be 12 o'clock Jim. He's 10:45 Steve, but it seems that we never get there. But the benefits of genuine worship. But I will say, you've got me on late this morning. You start me at 11:30. What can you expect? So the benefits of genuine worship. Number one, we are balanced in the discipleship ministry of our church. So we say, well, what's going to be? Why is this so important? Well, we'll be balanced. Okay. There's a difference. And as you know, again, as we look at our calendar and look about well, God, what will we do and how will we, you know, and this is a beautiful passage of scripture that we'll be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. I don't know about you, but it's been something that really was impressed on my heart some number of years ago, and I always ask the question, how can I bear the most fruit? And I make decisions on, God, how can I use the time that you've given me to bear the most fruit? And, you know, but the problem with, you know, sometimes, and this is a problem for me, and you can pray about it, because I long for you as a pastor and again, at the leadership, we long at Grace Bible Church to see our church body engaged and serving God because we're equipping you for the service or for the work of service. So we want to see you engaged, and yet we're very much aware that if you push too hard, you can press people, and they begin striving in the flesh to do what should be done through the power of God's indwelling Spirit. Okay? And so there's a constant evaluation and balance that needs to take place and needs to go on. And I want to say to you that this is key. No, the question always becomes, what is the goal of my service? Is it for the greater glory of God? Is it to worship Him? And is it to bear the most fruit for the time that God has given to me? Those are the questions that we should ask. And, you know, I mean, there's needs constantly, ministry-wise, around this church. And there are going to be times when we come to you and say, can you serve in this way? And I want to just say to you that we don't ever want you serving there if you don't belong there and if you can't answer these questions. And that question is, does God want me there to bear the most fruit that I can bear for on His behalf? And those are things that should be the deciding and determining factor in all of our service, in our evangelism, in our teaching, in everything that we do. Does it and is it the most fruitful for the greater glory of God? We need service. And this church functions on volunteer service. We don't function without you, without your engagement and your service before the Lord. But the bottom line question should always be, is this to the greater glory of God? And if we keep those things in mind, we'll do well. Secondly, we brag on God's glory. Okay? If it is the end, we accomplish our purpose and find our satisfaction there when we brag upon the glory of God. God's glory, let me say this. There's a couple of things that you want to focus on if you want to worship God. And one is His nature. If you're going to know God and increase in knowledge of God, then you need to understand His perfections, His character, the person of God. You need to know Him as a person. What characterizes God? And there's much in Scripture that we can learn about Him and much that we can wonder about God. Because we can't put Him in a box. We can't define Him or classify Him. He's too big for that. We can worship Him. But to know Him in how He has revealed Himself to us brings us to a place of brokenness and to a place where we're on our knees to express He is unknowable. He's majestic. He's bigger than anything that we can conceive of. And so He's worthy of our praise and our honor and worship. We can brag on Him, and we brag on His nature, His character, because what He says to us is always true. He's always honest. He's perfect in all the things that He does. He's righteous. But not only do we brag on God's glory by His nature or His person, but we also brag on God by His will or His works, right? The things that God determines to do and the works that God does. I mean, when we talk with one another, do you know how it is with some people that they have that relationship with the Lord? You can't help but talk about the Lord with them because that's all they want to talk about. I mean, it's where their thoughts are, and they're constantly bragging on God because God is so great, and it just bubbles out of them. And so you have a conversation with them for 5 minutes. Well, they're talking about the Lord. Why do they do that? Because they love the Lord God. And we should brag on Him, brag on His will, brag on His nature, His person. And it should be the things that come out of our mouth toward one another, encouraging one another, and our fellowship with one another. I mean, He should always be central there. You know what I'm saying? God is central. Christ is in the center place of this church. It's He that is should be honored and bragged upon and exalted. And the peripheral things that we enjoy and can express thanks to one another for, man, thank you for that encouragement or for these things that you do, it flows from Him. That life and goodness flows from Christ through His people. And we want to express those things. Number three, we are to become transformed into Christ's image. This is a vital verse, and everybody ought to memorize this verse of Scripture. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord the Spirit. The point here is that when we see the character of God, when we're meditating upon the works and the will of God, and we grasp some little portion of the vastness of His glory and His nature and His character, then we're being transformed. You understand? What you look at, what you model at, after, what you imitate, you become like. What you value, what you treasure, what you hold as affection in your heart. That's why the Scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And it begins with the heart, because the affection determines where our time is invested. It determines where our thinking goes, what we think about, what we invest our lives in. All of that is determined by what we love. And you can know someone pretty quickly by what they value, where they spend their time, where their focus is, and where their attitudes are. And if it's expressed in the image of the person of Christ, then there's a transformation that takes place in the individual. Number four, it corrects our moral practices and inward attitudes. And I just mentioned that. But Tozer had this to say, in the decline of the knowledge of the holy, and he laments the fact that in many churches we don't worship God. And it was part of Tozer's calling. He's a gift to the church in expressing that we need this personal relationship and this focus on that end goal of declaring the glory of God in all that we do. But he laments the decline of the knowledge of the holy. And he says, this decline has brought about our troubles. A rediscovery of the majesty of God will go a long way toward curing them. It is impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attitudes right while our attitude of God is erroneous or inadequate. So if we were to go through and peddle through the denominations and the churches here in the United States of America today, and we were to look at who they believe, what they think about God, that would tell the truth about where they are. What you think about God, what you know of Him and His revelation determines your moral practices and your inward attitudes. We're in trouble because this is a huge problem. We have no knowledge of the holy. We have lost the wonder of the glory of God. And that pursuit along the way. Number five, we gain knowledge of God and not knowledge about God. Now, again, the goal is personal relationship with God, intimacy with Him, being transformed as we draw near to Him by that which will transform us, a look at His glory. And here's one thing that we should all pray for. This year, as we meet on a weekly basis at Grace Bible Church, before you come, I pray, and I pray almost every Sunday that God will manifest Himself in His glory to His people, that we'll know His presence among us, the work of His Spirit among His people, and experience in a real and vital way. You know, He's always with us. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But there's there's different manifestations of the glory of God in Scripture. And there are times when there's the presence of God. It's such a weighty and heavy and powerful way. And isn't that a great pursuit? I mean, when we come here, wouldn't it be just great if it was just the purposed prayer of every one of God's people, meet with us today. We want just a little glimpse of your glory, just a little bit of the reality of what it really practically means to worship you and to feed on your word in such a way and to see the glory of Christ in such a way that we're transformed. And week by week that there's some just almost visible transformation taking place in God's people as we draw near to His glory and see Him. And as this verse states, we are being transformed by being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. The Spirit of God is transforming God's people because we're enjoying His presence. And that's a great goal. So if we could pray for some of these things, that we have knowledge of God, not knowledge about God, but knowledge of God, that we're increasing in knowledge of Him, and all the other peripheral things of life, the purposes and things that we put on the calendar fall in place, don't they? So we got a great year, exciting things to look at. But let's set our mind, our focus upon some of these things. Now, here's some things to consider in closing. Number one, focus on your studies. Okay, when you study God's Word, whether it's here, whether we're corporately together, we've got great teachers. If you're not in a Sunday school class, why not? We've got some of the most incredible teachers right here at Grace Bible Church. And you're going to learn something. You're going to grow in knowledge of the Lord. And so, you know, why not? Be there. Focus your studies with a desire to increase in the knowledge of God. And when you go into that classroom, in Sunday school class, or when you come in here for the sermon, it should be the prayer of your heart. God, I want to know your word that I might increase in knowledge of you, that I might gain and move forward in my understanding of you and in my walk with you. And that's a good prayer. And I think God will honor that. If you're praying for that each week, and regardless of how poor a preacher I might be, or how well or how bad your Sunday school teacher does, God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to take His Word and He's going to meet with you in a powerful and a significant way. Focus your studies with the purpose of the glory of God, to worship God, to increase in knowledge of God. Isn't that great? That's good, practical things for the new year. Secondly, when we sing corporately, focus your thoughts on the glory of God. I know the routine. I know that you come in. I mean, we just sang, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Man, what an incredible thing to sing about the Trinity. And it's full. You know, I mean, we sang songs here that were written. The desire was that our thoughts, our attention would be directed toward God. And I know the routine. You come in and so-and-so's over there. Hey, how you doing? And our thoughts we've got to learn to focus our attention toward Him and say, okay, everything out. Now is a time to worship Him and to express His value. And so think about those words that you're singing. Don't just mouth the hymns and the songs. They're selected carefully for purpose, reason, to direct our thinking, to worship Him. But we have to remind ourselves and focus on those things. So focus your studies, focus your thoughts and singing. Submit every act, number three, submit every act, or focus your service. Submit every act of service to the sincere desire to honor God. If that's your goal, if you sit down and in prayer, you're saying, God, there's a lot of things to do in life, but I want to do the thing that bears the most fruit for your greater glory. Okay? Man, that's a good prayer. And God's going to honor that, and He's going to direct you. And you're going to say no when you need to say no, and you're going to say yes when you need to say yes. And that's what we need. That's what we want. Service-minded people who realize they're being equipped by the Word of God for the service of God, that are engaging in the way that God calls them to His greater honor and glory. And when we have that, we'll have a very successful and fruitful year in 2011. So focus your service. Fourthly, focus your evangelism and fellowship. Your times for evangelism and your times for fellowship, focus on that. Decide that the glory of God will be the purpose for why I'm going out to share the gospel. You're not in that cyclical thing that Piper was talking about. Well, I'm evangelizing so somebody can get saved, so they can save somebody. So, you know, no, I'm evangelizing for the glory of God, because I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ, because He's called me to be a minister of reconciliation to those that need to hear the truth of the gospel. Okay? And I could go on. But number five, read some books this year. I want to encourage you, maybe as a family or especially as an individual, because you need time to reflect. And we have such little time that we as God's people meditate and focus on the wonder of the greatness of God. But a good way to do that is to pick up some books on the attributes of God. So I want to encourage you to pursue meditation on the greatness of God some this year. And I provided for you a list here. Knowing God by J.I. Packer. That's a good book to focus on the attributes, the character of God. The Knowledge of Holy is one of my favorites, A.W. Tozer. And it goes through the attributes or the perfections of God. And you can think about His greatness. And everybody needs to do that. We need to stop and reflect on those things. Here's a great book that is available these days, The Glory of Christ by John Owen. You can get it in a little paperback. I would not suggest that you take his volumes. He has been no one like John Owen. I mean, everything's huge. But this Glory of Christ book is condensed and edited, and it's a beautiful book to focus and reflect on that transforms us. The Glory of Christ. We need to meditate on such things. Here's a great classic book, Religious Affections by Jonathan Edwards. And that he deals with the proper affection that we should have toward God and what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's a great book. The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. There's a number of others, but pick one of these books and maybe sometime through 2011, take some time. One of the things about Tozer and Pink are these chapters are short. And so they're not meant to be intended to be a lot of reading, but a lot of thoughtfulness, a lot of meditation, a lot of wonder on the character of God. If we do these things, we'll do well. So let's keep before us and ask God for His blessing. The purposes that He set before us, may it be pleasing to Him, and may He be pleased to bear much fruit through the body of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of work to do. The United States of America is in terrible trouble. And we need to be engaged as God's people, glorifying Him and about His business and about what He has called us to as His people. And the best thing that we can do is focus here where He has called us, here where He's placed us, and engage by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the power of God, for the glory of God. Father in heaven, thank You for Your mercies and for Your Word. Help us as we begin a new year, and may this year be pleasing to You. And walk with us, Your people, and may we keep our focus upon what it means to worship You and to give You the honor and glory in all of our service, in all of our fellowship, in all of our times of gathering together. In all that we do, may Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, be the center of all those things. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.